Our Lord Jesus Christ had recently left the house of one of the chief Pharisees of his day. In that Pharisee's house, he had gathered around a table with the Jewish leaders. And there at that table, those Jewish leaders had pestered our Lord with all kinds of questions. They had done this in order to test him, to test his character, and to test his teaching. After Christ had answered perfectly each and every one of their questions, he rose up from that table and exited that chief Pharisee's house. He walked again on the streets of Jerusalem. And as usual, multitudes of men, women, and children gathered around him, following him, waiting to hear his teaching and to see his miracles. But verse 1 of chapter 15 says that publicans and sinners were also in this multitude. And at this time, these publicans and sinners fought through the crowd. They pushed their way through the people and they got near to Jesus and they drew nigh to him. Jesus did what he had always done in the past. He told these sinners of their need to repent. And he taught them the way of repentance. But the chief Pharisees and the scribes saw Christ's closeness to these unclean sinners. And then they remembered how Jesus had never hesitated to sit down and to eat with these same sinners, just as he had eaten with the Pharisees in that chief Pharisee's house earlier on. And they murmured against Christ. Jesus, seeing these two groups of people, the self-righteous Pharisees on the one hand, and the publicans and sinners on the other hand, tells these three parables that we have read this evening. He tells these parables in order to teach God's people of God's love for lost sinners. Those sinners who belong to God are precious. They are valuable to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice how the intrinsic value of each thing that is lost increases in the three parables. First, we have one sheep out of 100. And this one lone sheep is precious to his shepherd. And then in the second parable, we have a coin. Only this time it is a silver coin. And it is 1 out of 10. And it is precious to the one who has lost it. But then finally, in the parable commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son, one beloved son is lost, and he is 1 out of 2. These three parables serve to illustrate God's salvation of those lost sinners who are precious or valuable to him. In the parable of the prodigal son, Christ shows God's love for the lost but the elect sinner. God the Father loves sinners who are His children. And because He loves them, He desires their salvation. And because God is God and He is the sovereign God, maker of all things, controller of all things, He will save those whom He desires to save. And while the sinning child of God is yet in his sin, God the Father loves His Son. And in His love, He draws His Son back to Himself. He does this in the way of repentance. Consider this teaching in the first part of the third parable with me, under the theme, the Father's love for His straying son. The Father's love for His straying son. First, the love disdained. Second, the love remembered. And third, the love manifest. In this parable, Jesus Christ teaches that God the Father has great love for His Son. But that Son disdains his love. In this parable, the prodigal son disdains his father's love with three root sins. Three root sins. First of all, this young man's sin is a hatred for his father. Don't get me wrong. He loved his father's things. As you can see in the parable, this father was quite wealthy, with many servants, with a house. He supplied his young son with all that he needed, clothing, food, money when he needed. This young man loved the things of his father's house, but he hated his father. He shows his hatred in two ways. First of all, he shows his hatred by his demand in verse 12. Give me the portion of the goods that falleth unto me. This young man was demanding the inheritance of his father. Do you see? One normally does not receive an inheritance until his father dies. This self-centered renegade was implying with this demand that he would rather have his father dead so that he could receive his father's things. This man hated his father. He showed his hatred, secondly, by leaving for that far country. He did not love his father. He did not want to be where his father was. And so he took off to that foreign land, as far away as he could, away from his father's presence, where he thought that he would never see his father again. He hated his father. But secondly, his sin was not only a hatred for his earthly father, but his sin was a hatred for his heavenly father. Why did the prodigal son not want to remain in his father's house? It was because his father was a godly parent, a Jew who made sure that his household went to the synagogue in Jerusalem to worship Jehovah God. In this house, this young son was compelled to serve Jehovah God. All the rules that this father made were in line with the commandments from the Word of God. But this young son hated such holy living. He hated the holy God. And so in hatred, he went off to that far country. He went to that far country where there was no temple to worship Jehovah. He went to that land where no one would ask him to go to church. He went to that land where he did not have to obey Jehovah God because he hated his God. But thirdly, the son's sin was not only hatred for his earthly father and heavenly father, but it was selfish, foolish pride. That is why he made that bold imperative of verse 12. Give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. To this young man, it was all about me, me, me. He wanted his part in the inheritance so that he could serve himself. And in his selfish pride, he wanted that freedom that the world had to offer. I want to do what I want to do. No one's the boss of me. I want to be away from my father's discipline, away from his rules. That was the thinking of this man. And in his selfish pride, he thought he could survive in that far country without the help of his father. He thought he could supply for himself both physically and spiritually. And so he left his father's watchful and caring eye, thinking that he could make it on his own. And then we see his selfish pride again. When he was in that foreign land, he saw the lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, and he wanted every single desire for himself. So what did he do? He spent every last bit of money that he had received from his father's inheritance so that he could please himself. And in this way, he earned the name prodigal, one who recklessly spends and wastes his money. Young man, young woman, is this a description of you? Perhaps it's not the foolish squandering of your money, but what about that independent spirit, that pride, that disdain, that despising of God and His house? God's Word identifies you then as that straying sinner. The straying son committed these sins and then felt an awful misery. The misery came quickly. Without his father's guidance, this rebellious son spent all that he had. And when the high feeling of sinful living faded away, then that misery sat in. He spent all of his money. Now he needed shelter. Now he needed walls to guard him from the winds and the storms that blew across that foreign land. Now he needed clothing. And most of all, he needed food. He did not have a bit of food to fill his belly. Verse 14 says he began to be in want. And then God in his providence sent a famine into that land. And he became desperate. He was hungry. He was starving. And so what did he do? Didn't turn around and go back to his father's house. The text says he joined himself to a citizen of that foreign land. He made himself a slave to a man of that land. But that citizen did not need him. There was a famine in the land, remember? This young man was simply another mouth to feed. And so when that young man attached himself to the citizen of that land, what did that worldly evil man do? He sent him to tend to his swine, his pigs, his hogs. The Jewish man was sent to take care of pigs. Now, forsaking one's father is dishonorable. The squandering of all of one's money is humiliating. And to be a slave is degrading. But for a Jew to tend to unclean pigs is utterly shameful. All the Jews listening to Jesus as he told this parable must have crinkled their noses and shuddered at such a filthy thought. The young man was sent to tend to pink, ugly, filthy, horribly smelling pigs. He wallowed in the mud and the filth of these swine. But it was worse than that. In tending to these pigs, he was supposed to be able to eat some of the pigs' food. The husks of the text refers not to corn husks, but to beans or pods that grew on trees in those days. This was pig food, but human beings could eat it. It was edible. Yet verse 16 says that no man gave him to eat. It was not that he refused to eat this food of the pigs. He was starving, for verse 16 also says that he desired to fill his belly with this food. But no man gave to him. This is the picture we get. This wretch in tattered clothes, filthy, is sitting in the filth and the mud of these pigs, starving and weak. Feeding time came around. And the men that fed those pigs came with bags of those beans or pods on their shoulders. And they marched to the trough of those pigs and they poured the food in the trough of those pigs. But before these young men in the dirt of the pigs could get up, those fat, filthy swine, rushed to the trough, perhaps trampling this man, and crowded around that trough and packed around it so tightly so that this young man could not squeeze between two of these pigs to get one bean. He was starving. He was miserable. The unclean pigs ate, and he did not. Do you see the downward spiral of misery that this young man faced because of his sin? In this parable of the straying son, Jesus Christ gives to us and to the people of his day a graphic illustration of the sinner and his misery. The young man of the parable is a picture of every elect sinner. No, it is not only that young woman or man, that rebel who despises God's house, but it is a picture of every single one of God's children. Every one of you and me have sinned. We know we are sinners. We're sinners, first of all, in Adam. Romans 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All have sinned in Adam. He was our head. He was our representative. When he disobeyed God and fell in that garden, we disobeyed and fell. Because he is guilty, we are guilty. We are sinners in Adam. But that is not all. We have also inherited Adam's corrupt nature. And all we can do by nature is sin. We are sinners. We keep on sinning now. Over and over again, we commit sins against God and our neighbor. The younger son of this parable is a picture of you and of me, who in pride and in selfishness continue to sin again and again in our lives. And yes, our sin is no different than those root sins of that young man. Whenever we sin, we act in hatred for God. And in selfish pride. Whenever we sin, we are like that straying son, turning our backs upon our Father and taking a step towards that foreign land of sin. And when we continue in that sin, we are in that foreign land. We are straying far away from our Heavenly Father. With a disdain for our Father's love, we, as His children, often stray. We often turn our backs upon Him. The sinner may be one who has committed a public sin and is being disciplined for it. He may be one who has committed a private sin. No one knows about it. He may show himself in church, seemingly all right. But his heart is straying far away into the foreign lands of sin. But this is not time to point the finger at a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter. It's time to look at ourselves. For we know we are sinners. We know that we sin over and over again. And this picture that we have here this evening of the prodigal son, it's a picture, not of someone else, but it is a picture of you and of me. Like the straying son of the parable, the man or the woman who sins experiences an awful misery as a result of his sin. As the straying son quickly lost all of his things and began to be in want, so the straying sinner who continues in his sin is miserable. He loses all of his spiritual blessings, the preaching of the word and the sacraments that once nourished him. Does not do that anymore. The blessings that the child of God once received in church through the fellowship of the saints and all the blessings that we have in church disappears. The unrepentant sinner may continue to come and be in church, but he is spiritually far away. And not only that, he is in that distant land, starving, spiritually malnourished. And as a straying son attached himself to the owner of pigs, so also it is a great temptation of straying sinners to seek relief and satisfaction in all the wrong places. The world offers the comforts of life. The riches of the world are supposed to bring relief to this misery. The world offers entertainment in which a man or woman can lose himself in the fictional books or the fictional movies of this world so that he does not have to think of his sin. It may be drugs, it may be sex, it may be alcohol. All these things are supposed to bring relief to the spiritually malnourished sinner. But the fact of the matter is, nothing, absolutely nothing but the Father can bring relief. The sinner, as he seeks to find relief in anything else, is really in the filth of those pigs. And he spirals downward into worse and worse misery. Sons and daughters of God, are you experiencing an awful misery as a result of your disdain of the Father's love? This straying sinner of the parable sat in his misery until he remembered his Father's love. For his Father's love continued. It abode. It never ceased. Evidence of this is seen in verse 20. The Father is waiting eagerly and watching for his beloved Son to return. When the Son returns, the Father sees him afar off. This old man, perhaps with a beard and a long robe, waits on this porch, pacing back and forth, praying, hoping, with his hands clasped, wanting his Son to return so that he could receive his Son back in love. This Father's love continued. While his Son was in his house, the Father loved him. And when the Son rejected him and turned away from him and showed hatred to him, the Father continue to love his Son. But the Father does not only show his constant love for his Son by waiting and watching for his Son to return, but he shows great love for his Son by allowing his Son to leave in order to chastise him. Notice how quickly and easily the Father seems to hand over his property, allow his Son to sell his things and receive the money and go off to that foreign land. Verse 12 records the Son saying, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the Father simply divides his possessions. And the Son leaves. People of God, this is not a picture of an irresponsible father. This is a picture of a father who had such love for his Son. And he saw the weaknesses of his Son. He saw the great sin of his Son and allowed his Son to leave in order to chastise him in love. This parable reveals the love of our Heavenly Father for his sinful children. But we are not his children by nature. By nature, we are enemies of God. But Ephesians 1 verse 5 says that God has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In his good pleasure, before the foundations of the world, God the Father has chosen a people unto himself. He has chosen us. He has chosen us in Jesus Christ. On the basis of the work of Christ Jesus, his Son, he chose us to be his sons and his daughters. And thus, in love for his chosen sons and daughters, God the Father, like the father of the parable, shows love to us like this, like is evident in this parable. But we must not think of an earthly father. For this earthly father of the parable shows his love by waiting passively, waiting for his son to return. But God, our Father, is the sovereign King over all people and all things. He rules over all things, including the very wills and hearts of us. And he actively, not passively, but actively governs each and every step of the way of his straying son or daughter, so that that son or daughter returns to him. Like the father of the parable, God our Father also chastises us in love. But again, this father of the parable simply allowed his son to leave in order to chastise him. For God our Father is a sovereign Lord. He does not simply allow us to leave his presence and let us suffer whatever is out there. But he is a sovereign God who follows us with his hard hand of chastisement, bringing it down upon us so that we experience that misery apart from his presence, so that we experience that awful misery of trying to find some relief in anything else. And that hard hand brings us back to himself. Do you experience this misery of a straying son or daughter? Is God the Father perhaps using church discipline as his means to bring that misery in love? Are you a child of God who has never sincerely repented of your sin? And yet you experience this misery, this unrest as a result. Are you one like me who sins again and again and again in your life? Then the call of Jesus Christ in this parable is return, return, O sinner. For God the Father awaits for his children's return in love. And he brings this chastisement, this pain, in love. The straying son of the parable sat in his misery until, as verse 17 says, he came to himself. He woke up as out of a dream. He suddenly remembered that his father's love continued. This was the beginning of repentance. Repentance is that act of turning from one's sin and returning to God and confessing that sin to him. The straying son's repentance began when he came to himself and he sorrowed over his sin and misery. Through the chastisement, the Holy Spirit worked in this young man's heart a realization of his misery. He saw the consequences of his sin, and he said in verse 17, I perish with hunger. He understood that he was miserably starving to death apart from his father. He understood that he needed his father's love that was continuing. And then the Holy Spirit also worked in this young man's heart, not only a realization of his misery, but also a realization that he suffered these consequences because of his sin. It was his sin. If he had stayed with his father, he knew he would have bread and enough to spare. But because he had shown hatred to his father and selfish pride, he now experienced these consequences. This is the first step of true repentance and conversion. One must realize the misery that he is in. One must realize then that his sin has brought upon him these consequences. And then one must sorrow over that sin. No, not sorrow over the consequences themselves that have come as a result of that sin. But one must sorrow over the sin itself. The sin against God, your Father. Knowing his sin and misery, the straying son forsook his sin and returned to his father. He resolved to arise out of the wallowing with the pigs, to get up out of that mud, that filth, to turn from that foreign country and take the long journey back to his father. And then when he got there, he was resolved to confess his sin. Notice two things especially about his confession. I have sinned, he says, against heaven and before thee. Against heaven and before thee. Confession of sin is first of all to God. For when any one of us sins, it is first of all against God, our Heavenly Father. And then it is a confession to our neighbor. And secondly, notice the total humility of this confession. Gone is the selfish pride that this young son had before. He says in verse 19, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. With a demeanor of utter humility, he sorrowed over his sin. He turned from that sin, forsaking that sin. He returned to his father and confessed his sin to his heavenly father and then to his earthly father. This, people of God, is true repentance. This is the repentance that is required of every sinner. We must realize that our sin is just like that straying son's sin. It is done in hatred for God and it's done in foolish pride. We must turn from that sin. We must sorrow over that sin. Let us do that. Let us confess that sin to him and then to those around us. And then like that straying son of the parable, we will experience the Father's love and forgiveness. He will manifest that love and forgiveness to us. When that straying son of the parable came to himself and returned to his father made him experience this love and forgiveness. First of all, his father made him see that forgiveness. That old man was on his porch. He saw his son in the distance. And what did he do? This old man with a beard, a long robe, gathered his robes so that they would not get in the way of his legs. And he sprinted to his son. He put aside all dignity of an old man and he ran to his son. He made his son see his love and forgiveness even before his son confessed his sin. And then when he got to his son, after having run to him, he wanted his son to feel that forgiveness and love. And so what did he do? He embraced his son. He put his arms around him and he kissed him tenderly. This is a picture. The amazing experience that the child of God will have spiritually when he confesses his sin, when he repents of his sin. When we repent, God the Father receives us with open arms. He works his Spirit in our hearts to make us know without a doubt that we have been forgiven, that we are loved by him. How can God the Father do that? We know we are rotten sinners. We know we don't deserve this love and this forgiveness. But Romans 5 verse 8 says, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, so that we are righteous before the face of God. The reason why we do not experience his love and his forgiveness is because we are yet in our sin. When we confess our sin, in the way of repentance and confession, he will give us this experience of forgiveness and love that Christ has won. Here is the ultimate motivation to repent from our sin, people of God. God, our Father, loves us in Jesus Christ. And he's waiting to show us that love. Do you see the love of the Father? Do you see, dear sinner, who trembles at the very thought of standing before the holy God and confessing the sin that you believe is so, so gruesome? Do you see the amazing love of a Father for his children, dear? So that he will forgive. Do you see, dear sinner, who sins over and over again like me, who commits the same sin perhaps? Do you see the amazing love of the Father to forgive his children? Let us repent and let us experience this sweet forgiveness. The Father manifested his love in the parable by receiving his son back in full forgiveness and love. But he does more. He restores his son back to a full status of son. He does this in verses 22 when he says to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. With these acts, the Father was showing to his son that he was brought back as a son, not as a servant, but as a son. He said, bring forth the best robe. Not any old robe. He could have been clothed as a servant. That would have been good enough. And that son realized that, as you notice in his confession. But the Father said, bring forth the best robe. Clothe him as my favorite son. And then he said, put a ring on his finger. The ring had a seal on it. And that ring signified authority. This man was received back not as a servant, but he was received back as a son, as with authority over the servants. He was brought back as a son, as an heir to his father. And then thirdly, the Father said, put shoes on his feet. Servants did not work with the privilege of foot protection, but the son was brought shoes or sandals so that he would know that he was a favored son. But do you see the point at which this young man fully realized his restored status as son? Yes, through these acts, the Father showed his son that he was a son. But look at verse 24. Nothing was more rewarding than what the Father gave to the boy there in verse 24. For there he declared, this, my son, was dead and is alive again. This, my son, This declaration was truly exhilarating for this young man. The father said, "My son." This is an illustration of God's declaration of sonship to the repentant sinner. As the straying boy's father showed his son and spoke that word, son, so God's word does this for us. Don't lose fascination and excitement of these words. 1 John 3 verse 1 declares to repentant sinners, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Sinners who do not deserve any grace are called sons of God. When we repent, God the Father does not only restore, does not only give us full forgiveness and show us His love, but He restores us back as sons and daughters of Him. But there is more. He does more than that. The parable shows that the Father organizes the most wonderful banquet He can in celebration of His Son's return. The celebration was truly extraordinary, truly extraordinary. For as we see later on in the conversation of the father with his older son, the father had never killed the fatted calf to celebrate anything. But now he kills the fatted calf in order to celebrate his son's return. And there was much music and much dancing. This illustrates the great joy that God the Father and Christ Jesus and all the angels have in heaven when one sinner, when one of us repents. Why does heaven rejoice? Well, the Father gives the reason in verse 24. For. Why? For. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They rejoice because the grand purpose of God is being realized. Sinners who are God's children are brought back to Himself. They're saved. And God is glorified. That's why heaven rejoices. Does the love of the Father, people of God, motivate you to repent of your sin now and whenever you sin? If you are yet in your sin, confess your sin. And He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to show you His love and to show you your sonship. Realize that the misery that you experience as a result of your sin is His loving chastisement upon you. Realize that in the way of confession, He will show you His love. And realize that there is great joy in heaven when we repent. Then, fellow sinners, realize that we will also all one day, as children of God, experience a feast like the one pictured here in the parable. We will all gather around the marriage feast of the Lamb to celebrate, to glorify God. Fellow sinners will exclaim together, "We were once dead, and we are now alive. We were lost, and we are now found. To God be the glory." Amen. Let us pray. Father, show us Thy mercy. Make us experience a continual turning, a continual conversion to Thee, for we so often stray into the foreign lands of sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.